Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my special co-host, dear brother in Christ, Minister Harold Copeland. And we are in studio today again to continue in our series, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? Have you asked yourself, are you satisfied with Jesus? This may not be a question of thought for someone who has not accepted Christ as Lord. But for the one who has, are you satisfied with Jesus? So Mission from the Heart has started this beautiful new series, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? So that you can focus on the inside of yourself. The Bible has revealed from Genesis to Revelation of the coming Messiah that wicked men be redeemed through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me put it simply. Jesus going through death and Christ coming in resurrection to bring the believers, that's you and me, into the Father. The book of John, where we have our launch pad, if you will, our foundational scripture in John 14, verses 1 through 10, has two main sections. The first section of John, chapters 1 through 13, reveals Christ as the eternal Word, came through incarnation to bring God into man. The second section of John, chapters 14 through 21, unveils how Christ is, as the man Jesus, went through death and resurrection, bring man into God for the building of the church. Amen. So, Minister Copeland and I, Carnita Smith, we're going to continue in this wonderful series, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? Now, we're going to be focusing on, in this series, we're going to be focusing on a new way to know. So Minister Copeland is going to come and continue to reveal to us through Scripture, as you get ready, come ready, and receive with readiness what the Lord wants you to know. Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. All things. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Hello, everybody. Shalom, peace, God bless you. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, it's a delight. We're so grateful to be in the studio together again. And we always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We want you to know that we love you with the love of the Lord. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your lives. But most importantly, God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the seed of the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge by the Spirit of God will reveal God's divine plan and purpose for your life. And you too shall stand and proclamate the oracles of God to this lost and dying world. as we said earlier, we are still on this awesome, life-changing, intimate teaching entitled, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? And I tell you what, as the teaching goes on, the Word of God draw my heart and my mind and my soul closer to the Lord. And my satisfaction with Jesus increase, 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 minute by minute, moment by moment, day by day. And I'm sure as you listen, you too enjoy a life metamorphosis experience with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to dive right into the teaching without further ado. And as always, we'd like to start out by reading our lunch pad scripture. And our lunch pad scripture, as we said earlier, coming out of the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 10.
John 14, verses 1 through 10. And I'll be reading this in the King James translation. And it reads this way, if you would follow along in your translation, let not your heart be troubled. You belong or you believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that you that were where I am, there you may be also. Verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father? And the Father in me? The words that to you I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Verse 12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
Amen. Now, in order for us to walk into the door of a new way to know, we have to take a look at salvation. Because without salvation, there isn't a new way. Without salvation, there is an access to another way to know Jesus, which will satisfy us. So let's look at a very familiar passage of Scripture. Mission from the Heart Radio, we are a salvation ministry. And you hear us use this scripture a lot, because this is the salvation scripture. So let us allow this scripture to model a picture of salvation that we can enter in to the new way. Let us read Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10.
Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen.
Amen. Now, by virtue of that scripture, there are two qualifications for this great salvation. One have to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, the one and only Lord. And then they have to believe in their heart, their knower, that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, by virtue of the qualifications given in that scripture, the salvation scripture, we could truly say, and we could forgive old Philip for not being satisfied. And we can forgive Peter for all those mistakes he made. Because by virtue of that scripture, the disciples was walking with Jesus, but they wasn't saved. I know that sounds strange, but the scriptures say, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And then it goes on to say, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Well, Jesus was still alive. So there is no way that they could fulfill the second part of that scripture. To believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. He hadn't died yet. So since there was no death, no crucifixion, there was no resurrection. And they didn't have grounds to believe. And that scripture, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that's the doorway to salvation. So since Jesus have not died, there was no entrance to receive salvation. So let's go easy on Philip. He wasn't saved. Let's go easy on old Peter. cutting a man's ear off, ready to fire. He wasn't saved. Now, what we want to see is, when did salvation visit them so the door can be open? Yeah, we want to get this door open so we can walk through it and stay in it. I tell you what, once we get in the room, close the door and lock it. Man, and live it. Live in that life. Live in that way. So we got to go to the book of Acts. And we got to see when did they actually believe. Acts chapter 1. And we shall read verses 1 through 9.
Chapter 1, starting in verse 1, reading through verse 9. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Lord, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Verse 9, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Amen.
Amen. In the teaching, even after Jesus' resurrection, his disciples were still doubting. They didn't recognize him. So some was in the process, and there was a process going on for everybody to enter into the salvation, but it wasn't completed. And we know Thomas doubted, and a lot of other ones doubted. So they wasn't believing in their hearts. That's the first qualification of the scripture. But right now, all are on one accord, and they are believing. They are using the word Lord. And we know in previous teaching, when Thomas caught it, Thomas said in amazement, my Lord and my God. He was believing. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That was obvious. They were looking at him. They looked upon him. They saw him. So they were fulfilling both qualifications. They were saved, as the scripture says. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. They were saved. Now, before we go into the new way, I want to make this statement. Salvation itself, in and of itself, is not enough to carry the gospel. And I know that sounds strange. But look, they had the proof. They had the gospel. They confessed with their mouth. They believed in their heart. They were saved. They saw this tangible resurrected Jesus. And they could have ran and told the whole world. But Jesus said, wait. You're not ready yet. Go into the upper room, I'm paraphrasing, and stay in Jerusalem. Amen. Because you got to be empowered to carry the gospel. You have to have supernatural power, the Spirit of the living God, to carry the gospel. That's where the anointing is. It's the anointing that destroys the yokes. So salvation is awesome. It guarantees us eternity. The moment we believe, the moment we know. But it doesn't power us in and of itself to carry the message. The message must be carried with power. The good news must be carried with power. He said, when Holy Spirit come upon you, you shall be endowed. That's an overflow, a running over. From the inside out, the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, you shall be endowed with power from on high. And that was this event before Jesus ascended into the heavenlies. This was 40 days after his resurrection. And the Holy Spirit did not come until 10 days after that. Pentecost, that was on the day of Pentecost, means 50. So 10 days after he ascended, which was the 50th day, that's when they got power to carry the message. And please read the book of Acts, especially chapter 1 and chapter 2. And old Peter, old messing up Peter. Peter preached a sermon, and 3,000 folks got saved in one day. And then he preached another sermon and 5,000 people got saved. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. Empower us, equip us to carry the good news, the message. And let us just read when they receive that power. That will be the next chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 2. And we want to read the first four verses, 1, 2, 3, 4. Acts 2, 1 through 4.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen.
Amen. That's the empowerment to carry the good news of the gospel. Minister Smith, do what she does. Number one, she loved Jesus. She loved God, and she had been empowered with the Holy Spirit I couldn't possibly do what I do. Naturally, in my natural man, I'm an introvert. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, through his revelation, he reveals the scripture through me. And he is doing the same for you. And if you're not empowered, you will get that opportunity. Today is the greatest day of your life. Now, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, with the scripture, the word of God, we can know Jesus. And let's look at that word, know. Beautiful word. It's not a mental knowing. It's not an intellectual knowing. It's not a emotional knowing. But this is an intimacy of the heart. This is a hands-on, day-to-day, moment-by-moment, intimate, personal relationship with God through our Lord and Savior, the one who saved us, Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the definition of know. And through the scripture, we can have this intimacy with Jesus. And this is, in a way, his own disciples couldn't until they got born again. Now, after that wonderful day of Pentecost, which was just read out of the book of Acts 2, through the Holy Spirit, they were empowered to have this intimacy. And it turned, this intimate relationship with Jesus turned their life around. And as I said again, read the book of Acts, because they turned the world upside down. Hallelujah. And you and I have been equipped with that same power that we can make a difference in this lost and dying world. Now, Holy Spirit reveals Jesus in all of his glory. See, all that glory is on the inside of us. And this new life is on the inside of us. And it's not just any type of life or just any old life. No, it's the very life of Christ, the very resurrected life of Christ living in us, revealed through the scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the word of God is alive. The word of God is powerful. That's why Mission from the Heart, we are founded on the word. We stand on nothing but the word of God. We don't go by our feelings. We don't go by our emotions. We don't go according to our circumstances, according to our situations. We don't go according to what we can touch, taste, hear, see, or smell. But as Jesus said, we live. Somebody say live. Yes, we live by the word of God. This life, this new way is founded by the word of God. This relationship, this knowing in the knower is based on the word that we hide in our heart, the word that we know, we come on with from the inside out. the power of the Word of God. Let us go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Chapter 4. Verse 12.
Hebrews 4 and 12. And it reads, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Amen.
Amen. That's the word of God. That's Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. So as Minister Copeland was indicating, he states that that is Christ. Christ within us. Hebrews 4 and 12. The Word of God. And how we are conditioned by the Holy Spirit to be used by the Lord. Minister Copeland?
Amen.
Minister Copeland, if you could restate what you just said.
Amen.
Concerning Hebrews 4 and 12.
Yes. Powerful. Divide the spirit man from the soulish man. And that's very important. The word of God cuts asunder, cut us in half, sharp. And it divides the spirit from the soul. And that's very helpful to know the activities of the soul from the activities of the spirit. Because there are thoughts that we may have in our souls in salvation, and we think it's us, but it's not, because we're a spirit. And no matter what our soul is thinking or want to think, or what our physical body wants to do, it never gets into the spirit man. After we receive this salvation, our spirit man is always trying to get to God. Amen. Even when we sleep, our spirit man is going always in the direction of God, not our souls. And that's why we have to renew our minds constantly to get our minds to line up to the miracle that is already, it's a finished work in that spirit. And that comes from the word of God. And the word of God is powerful. And the reason the word of God is so powerful, because the word of God is Jesus. Let's read that. Go to the book of John. The Apostle John, the one Jesus loved. That's what John says in his own book. John chapter 1, verse 1. Let us read that.
John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen. Let us read verse 2.
He has in the beginning with God, or he was in the beginning with God. Amen.
Amen. Let us read verse 3.
All things were made through him, and without him, thing was made that was made. Amen.
And let us read all the way until they say, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us.
Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the sight, was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world.
Amen, amen, amen. And that just to show that the Word of God, God put his Word in human flesh just like we have, and God gave that Word a name, and his name is the name above all names. His name is Jesus. So Jesus and the Word are what? Let us stay in that same chapter, John 1, and let's read verse 14.
And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Amen. So the Word of God put on an earth suit so he can come and hang out with us, and we can hang out with him, and we can fellowship. And he dwelled amongst us and allowed us to dwell amongst him. So Jesus and the Word are one. In the same way that Jesus and his Father are one. Knowing Jesus, remember, knowing, it's not mental, it is not intellectual, it is not emotional. Hands-on, day-to-day, moment-by-moment, intimate personal relationship with Jesus, knowing Jesus through the Word of God, is the same as knowing intimate, of the heart, not the mind, knowing the Father through Jesus. If the disciples had known the true Jesus, they would have known God. Those who know the true Word of God by the revelation of Holy Spirit know the true Jesus, and that will suffice every one of us, because we do not do the satisfying. It is Jesus in us who satisfies. It's the Christ in us that is our hope of glory. But sadly, all of us, I say all of us, that include me, are dominated by our flesh. And with flesh, we say five senses, what we can touch, taste, hear, see, smell. And we're more dominated by them than we should be. Meaning, we try to connect with Jesus through our five senses instead of through faith. Somebody say faith. Instead of through faith in the revealed Word of God. In other words, instead of through faith, through the Scriptures. Amen. Now, let us read John 4, and 14.
John chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 14. And it reads this way. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen.
Amen. Now, same book, chapter 7, John 7, verses 37 and 38.
John 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Amen.
Amen. Out of the heart flow rivers of living waters. Rivers of living water through and through us. One translation say belly. The same thing. Out of the belly shall flow rivers, out of the heart. Rivers of life flows out of the inner being. We no longer operate according to our thoughts. God say time and time again that my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. We no longer operate according to our emotions. But as Jesus declared in the scripture, it is written. It's only what the word says. And Hebrews told us how powerful the word of God is. We don't live according to circumstances. The word of God has the power to make every circumstance line up according to the will of God. We do not live according to situations. When God's word is released, situations must line up according to the will and purpose of God. We don't have to climb mountains. We speak to mountains, be ye removed and be ye cast into the sea. We no longer stay in the low places, the valley places, because in the valley, because of the rivers of living waters, that's that Holy Spirit flowing through us. And he releases the very life of God through and through. The Spirit opened up and just began to flow into our hearts and flow into our minds and flow over our thoughts and our emotions. And that's through and through in our imagination and our intellect. We begin to put on the mind of Christ. And we're no longer fleshly conscience, but we become God conscience. And we no longer demonstrate that old personality that we had before we came to the cross. Now we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Love, agape, joy, unspeakable, peace of God that surpasses all understanding. For our God is a long-suffering God. He's gentle. He's always good. And we receive him by faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to him must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the rivers of living waters are flowing through and through. And Holy Spirit is touching hearts. And Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus and the power of the word is knocking on doors of the heart. And you know when somebody knock on your door, they want to come in. And I know somebody hear that knock. So I am going to stop, drop, and pray. And I'm going to turn the microphone over to Minister Smith. She's been anointed for this hour to take us to the cross that we may open our hearts and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is our opportunity today. Today, this day has been set forth for you, my brothers and sisters, to come to know him intimately and personally. An opportunity for you to say, yes, Lord, and no longer live or at least know in your Noah, as Minister Copeland says, know that you know that you know. That you have said yes to an all-sufficient God, to an all-purposeful God, a gracious God, a God whose mercy and grace is upon you for the entire period of your life. As we dwell through this barren land we call earth, for we know this is not our home, but Christ has gone before us to prepare a place for you, my brothers and sisters, as well as my brother Copeland and I. For all of the children of God, he's preparing a place for us. That is our true home. And so he has set forth this day for you to come to know him by way, as we're talking about this in this lesson today, a new way to know him by salvation. Just as Minister Copeland wonderfully explained to us and showed us through these rich scriptures how today was set forth for you to come to know him, capital H-I-M, to know him in this way, the way of salvation. Today is the day, and the way of salvation is through Christ and Christ alone. Their path to every one of our lives that we are not so proud about, that we want to try to keep it down or hidden in some way, shape, or form. But guess what? Christ is the true light of the world. He didn't come to condemn us. He came as the way, the new way to the Father. And so we, as a ministry, Mission from the Heart, always set aside time for you, our listeners, faithful listeners, to share with us salvation. And so we do not want to just assume that every listener to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, is a born-again believer saved by grace. That would be foolish on our part to assume that every listener is. So we extend Christ to those by this way, salvation. Praying a prayer of salvation for those who have purposed in their heart to want to come. Not by obligation, not by pushing or shoving you or making you feel guilty. No. Only you know that you have been gently encouraged to come to know Jesus as your Savior. So we encourage you, we plead that you would say yes in surrenderance of your soul to Christ, and to say yes to a brand new way, and that is through salvation. Listen to what it says in John 1, verse 12. Now, we've read quite a few scriptures in our lesson today in the book of John, but I want to bring the attention during this salvation extension moment. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's verse 12 and 13. Think about that, my brothers and sisters. When we believe in him, Christ alone, we are saved by his amazing grace. Because you have believed by faith. So if you will bow, if you can, your head, or get on your knees if you're able, or even if you're able to lay prostrate in worship to Christ, going to the feet of Jesus to pray and extend your heart, submit to the will of the Holy Spirit as you receive his salvation. So if you would pray with me, humble your heart, whole heart. Now don't come to the feet of Jesus trying to be fake, trying to be half-hearted, trying to get something for nothing. Remember, he is the true light, and he exposes darkness. So let's come to the Father as humble as you know how, in a reverential awe and wonder of who he is, and pray a simple, loving prayer that says, now you repeat after me, because he sees the humbleness of your heart. So let's pray, my brother, my sister. Lord, I surrender it all to you. I surrender my life, my heart, my troubles, my concerns, my fears, my uncertainties. I surrender it all to you. Trying to work things out, figure things out, wonder where my lack is going to come from. And the only way I know is through you. For you are my way, you are my truth, and you are my life. Here I am, Lord, in you wholeheartedly, believing that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. It was his blood that shed for my sins. Thank you, Lord God, for sending your Son to redeem me. And I surrender it all to you. I know that you are a God who sits high and looks down low for me. And I know that you love me so graciously. Lord, teach me, guide me, hold me, prosper me as I press in to you ever so gently. For you are my rock. You are my solid foundation. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah and amen. Praise ye the Lord, my brother, my sister, that has received Jesus as the free gift of new life, eternal life. Now, we encourage you, Mission from the Heart, as we always do, to seek out a Bible teaching church. We encourage you to grow and go in grace. Now, what does that mean? That means that you are to seek out a Bible teaching church in your community, that you would be baptized by submersion of water. When you get up, you have told the world that you are a Christ follower, that you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hallelujah. That you continue your growth through a small group Bible study, maybe a Sunday school class within that church community, that they would love on you and disciple you as you continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio. God is working all these things out for your good, my brother and sister. This is his plan for you, that he's working it out. So as you cast your cares on him, he carries the burdens of life for us. We rest in him as our peace, our joy, unspeakable joy. And so we are just super excited that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that this is the beginning of a new way. Hallelujah. As Minister Copeland continues to show us in Scripture this new way, we are excited for you. What a joy, what a joy it is to know that. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord for your joy. We can just see you jumping and shouting and lifting your hands as an offering of praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we will continue to pray for you as you continue to grow. And if you would do the same for us, pray one for another. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue in our lesson with Minister Copeland. Minister Copeland, you want to give a few words of grace and happiness and joy for those who've accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Amen. My brothers and my sisters, welcome to the family. Amen. God is at work in you, and he's doing exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. And it's according to that power that's in you now, the power of the Spirit of God. And what Minister Smith said earlier, the key to this walk is for us to just rest. because God has called us to something. It's bigger than us. We can't even imagine the plan and the purpose. And we would never be able to accomplish it, even in our greater doing. Only he can do the work. And all we do is rest. Because that he has for us is always for our greater good. He has nothing but the best for you. So you let go, and you let God. God started this work, and he's faithful and just to finish it. So sit back and enjoy the journey. For truly, it is an awesome journey. And Jesus showed us through Scripture. He made it crystal clear that once we drink of the waters of life, we will never thirst again. It will be like a well where the life-giving waters doesn't have to be pumped out, but it springs out constantly. And as Christians, that's what we still experience. And that is what you're experiencing now. And we should experience the love of God. Amen. But not in an emotional way. But enjoying the love that God has already placed in our spirit. And let's see how he did it. The book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9.
Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Amen.
Amen. So my brothers and sisters, you can see by Scripture that God loved you even before you got saved. But now since you're saved, the word much more. He even loves you much more now. He loves you just like he loved Jesus. That's much more love. Another scripture, the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. I quoted this earlier, but we want to read it. Read it for the first time.
Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. There's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. We can have as much of the love of God as we want. We can have as much of the joy of the Lord that strengthens us that we want. We can have as much of the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. God does not give up on us. He's long-suffering. He's always gentle. He's always good. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. He has given us the measure of faith that we need to believe him, trust him. He's meek and lowly. He's God. He's created the whole world. But he hesitates not to come and hang out in your heart and my heart, and our heart and our mind and our soul. He's God. And he gives us self-control to overcome. And this fruit of the Spirit is different from regular fruit, because regular fruit is seasonal. The fruit of the Spirit is not seasonal. We can access it 24/7, anytime we get ready. We always have God's love in us. We always have God's joy in us. We always have God's peace in us, even in the worst of circumstances and situations. And we can always access his peace. But the problem is the same as Philip. We are looking to connect with the Lord in the wrong way, through our senses, instead of the new way, in our born-again spirit, through the word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. And I release, as I close, I release the blessing of God upon you, that may the grace of God go before you, and may the peace of God rest upon you. And may the love of God flow in you and through you, that others may see this awesome, wonderful, magnificent love and come running and asking, what must I do to be saved? Amen and amen. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Copeland, for the word. And thank you, Lord God, for the power of the word through his children. Hallelujah. I am just so grateful how the word of God penetrates and opens our eyes to see what we need to see, my brothers and sisters. And we pray that this experience is yours as well. And so we just continue to press in to the word of God, press in to the discipleship of the word of God and how it purifies us, how it prunes us, and how it shapes and molds us to be the type of child God has purposed us to be. And it may be a little bit of a struggle from time to time, my brothers and sisters, but do not let go of God's unchanging hand. Do not allow the adversary, our adversary, enemy, do not allow him to keep you burdened down through worry, anxiety. Do not allow that. How do you keep that from happening? Through the word of God. Circle yourself through some good God-believing brothers and sisters in Christ that are filled with the Holy Spirit, of course, but who are living a lifestyle that shows that fruit that is mentioned in the book of Galatians 5:22, that are living a lifestyle of that you would grow being encircled around them. So this is our prayer for you, that you would do so. And also remember, as we always say here at Mission from the Heart Radio, the grass withers and the flowers fadeth away, season after season. Scripture says it, we believe it, and we stand on it. Hallelujah. So we know that the Word of God, it will remain within you, within me, and within so many others of our brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and we will be here again with Mission from the Heart Radio, ready, willing, and able. God bless you.